Bismillah, alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the Dean Show. I'm Eddie, your host, and we have a very important, special topic that we're going to be talking about. It's Ramadan, and we're with our esteemed guest, Dr. Haddad. How are you, Shay?
Alhamdulillah, mashallah. How are you? How is your Ramadan?
It's good, going good, alhamdulillah. How was yours? How was your Ramadan?
Excellent. Wallahi, excellent. Subhanallah. One of the best Ramadans. And by the way, subhanAllah, I don't know, for whatever reason, so many brothers and sisters, they confirm that this Ramadan is maybe better than all the previous Ramadan, which is really, alhamdulillah, very good news.
MashaAllah. So tell us, for the audience, I didn't get a chance to read your bio, but I mean, for those that don't know you, so you're someone who actually, tell us, fill us in. I mean, you have like a student of knowledge, sheikh, you have mufti, a qadi, you're kind of like a judge, right? You're at that level where you judge a lot of matters between family disputes, marital disputes. What's your official title?
Well, the issue of title is very subjective. And inshallah, maybe sometime in outside Ramadan, we can talk about this, because in Ramadan, yani, it's better that we focus on the main issues, and in order to give more time for ibadah.
Yeah. So the reason we ask is because the advice that you're going to give, you know, sometimes it's important. Some people are like, well, who is this guy to give me advice? You know what I'm saying?
Come on, man. I'm a big celebrity. Don't worry about that. So they would say,
okay, Shay. May Allah preserve you, protect you. Before we get into the main topic we want to talk about, because it's a sad realistic thing that's happening. You were addressing it. We were listening to a talk you were giving last week, I believe, and you talked about brothers actually who are fasting. You gave an example, family members, and wasting their fast because they haven't been on speaking terms for so many years. So that's the topic we'll be talking about: boycotting family members, cutting ties of kinship, especially now because we don't want to lose our fast and our good deeds.
Wallahi, we see in the West examples. I am warning the young people, and not only the young people, the old people, from this grave sin, which is what? Which is cutting the ties of kinship. And see, so many people are looking for solutions. They have depression, they have anxiety, they have other mental illnesses. A check in their life, you will see that they are not maintaining the ties of kinship. And subhanallah, wallahi, today, Abu Hamza, today, a sister rang me and she was complaining to me about her brother who is above 50 years of age, and the way he is treating his father who is suffering from dementia. Now, I said to her, one of the things that I said to her, tell him that your father will pass away, you will become old, and Allah Jalla wa'ala, as the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, will punish you in the dunya before the akhirah, and will send upon you those who will humiliate you, as a result of being what? Ungrateful to your father. So I am warning every single one against what? Against the break of the ties of the ties of kinship. And look, when Allah Jalla wa Ala created in the hadith, when Allah Jalla wa Ala created the creation, what happened? The silatul rahim, the ties of kinship, stood and said, Ya Allah, we are appealing to you. And then Allah Jalla wa'ala said, what do you want? The rahim, the ties of kinship, said, Ya Allah, I seek refuge in you from those who cut me off. So Allah Jalla wa'ala said, okay, I will please you. I will look after those who look after you, and I will cut off those who cut you off. Brothers and sisters, you will not have a successful life if you, in particular, cut the ties of kinship, in particular, to your parent or with your parent. Let me say that again. Maybe you can. Yeah? Brothers and sisters, you will never be successful in your life whatsoever if you don't maintain the ties of kinship, especially to your own parents. You know, subhanAllah, recently, one brother attended a course with one of the big organizations. We are not, yani, maybe it's not good to mention their name, yeah, because they want to keep everything confidential. And every year they train over, I think, 200,000 people around the world. You know, in the first day of the training, these are non-Muslims, non-kind of Christians. This is just simple coaching, yeah, self-development. The first day, they are asking the students to do what? To call their parents and to fix their relationship with their parents. And non-Muslims, non-Muslims. Part of that training, exactly part of the training. And that this is the first thing they do in their training. And then we see, subhanAllah, our deen. Yeah? Our deen. Our deen is encouraging us to do this, simply. So Allah Jalla wa'ala took upon himself that he will look after those who, what? Maintain the ties of kinship, uphold the ties of kinship, and cut off those who cut the ties of kinship. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited the ayah, فَهَلْ عَسَيْتُمْ إِن تَوَلَّيْتُمْ أَن تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَتُقَطِّعُوا أَرْحَامَكُمْ أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهِ فَأَصَمَّهُمْ وَأَعْمَى أَبْصَارَهُمْ. Wallahi, this is so strong. The translation of this: if you go away, turn away from my guidance, what will happen? Yeah? You will what? You will cut the ties of kinship. And as a result of this, number one, the curse of Allah Jalla Ala will happen to you. Number two, Allah Jalla Ala will turn you to be what? To be deaf. And then number three, you will not see the truth. You will not find a happy person. I challenge you. You don't find a happy person that he is rude to his parents in particular.
Let me ask you, Shay. I'm going to get a bunch of questions in before we conclude, because we're limited on time. Can you just let's start off with that story, and then I'll jump in. I want to get some of your feedback on some ayahs from the Quran and some hadith that are revolving around this topic. If you can tell us, are they authentic, and also your comments on the hadith that are related to this. But let's start off with this story that you mentioned, just real quickly. The story of us getting into Ramadan, and then you had these brothers, that story that you were narrating. It was really touching.
Yeah. So this is actually, this is a true case. We had it just before the end of Ramadan. And it was really, this was amazing. This is a brother, he brought his father-in-law. Yeah? See, the brother brought his father-in-law to me because what? He wants me to speak to his father-in-law regarding the importance of what? Maintaining the ties of kinship and to start to talk to his brothers. For the last 15 years, he did not speak to them. And they are living, all of them are living in the UK. Forget about even living in the UK, even if they live abroad now. Okay, we can. You are in America and I am in London and we are communicating. Yeah, so that is not an excuse for 15 years. And see, what I cannot believe until now, although the father is the one who told me that, the father told me that his son, he went away off the deen, he is living in London, and he has not been in his father's house for how long? For 20 years. Can you imagine? Now, are you telling me that this person will be a successful person in his life? Wallahi, never. Never, ever. And this person, he now, maybe he is in his 40s, okay? Later on, he will become in his 70s and he will die. I don't want to use the word like maybe, yani, even a dog in the West would be, you know, someone will look after it. He will die like, I don't know, yeah? And no one will look after him. Why? Because he was not looking after his father. So let us be practical. I want all the brothers and sisters who are listening now. This is live, yeah? It's not live, it's recorded, okay? Right. Okay, I want all the brothers and sisters who are listening now, I want them what? To go immediately and to fix their relationship with their parents. And the first thing they need to do is what? Call your mom and call your dad and fix your relationship with them. This is the first step towards what? Towards real happiness, contentment, and success.
How do you deal with, before I get into the ayahs of Quran and the hadith, how do you deal with excuses? Because everybody has some kind of reason, justification. The person will say, look, my father never told me he loved me. He's not the father that I saw on the TV shows. What do you say to that, Shay? Excuses.
Excuses. See.
And then some will even say, you know, I'm ready to go in front of the court of Allah because of these excuses. I'm ready to go.
See, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Laysa al-wasilu bil-mukafi." The reason for us commanded to be kind to our parents is not because they looked after us. See, if there is a father, or a mother, they had the child and the child was brought up by someone else. He was taken by social services or was maybe the father abandoned him or the mother abandoned her child. Let's just imagine. And then later on, the child came to know about his mother or father. He must look after them. Even if they abandoned him, even if they did not care for him, even for one single day, because it is not reciprocal. It is not, they paid me, I pay them back. No, it is because they gave birth to you. And the reason for you to exist on this earth is them, full stop. This meaning, unfortunately, many speakers, many shuyukh, they are not focusing on it. And that's why we see righteous people who may be not in touch with their parents. And I say to them, haram, haram, haram. And here in the West, if your father abused you or whatever, then khalas, he is not your father anymore. No. This is wrong. Yes? See, in the Quran, when Allah Jalla wa'ala says, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, has Allah Jalla wa'ala mentioned, if they took care of you? No. When Allah Jalla wa'ala also says, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حُسْنًا حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ, وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ, or the other ayah, حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ كُرْهًا وَوَضَعَتْهُ كُرْهًا. Allah Jalla wa'ala linked the ruling or the rights of parents and the rights of mother, for example, for one illah, one reason, which is what? That she bore him in her tummy and then she gave birth to him. That's all. And then Allah gave more right once because she has breastfed him, but just by being his mother or her mother, this is more than enough. By being his father or her father, this is enough for the parents to have their rights upon you. No excuses. No excuses. And on the other side, I would like to say to you, brothers and sisters, that if You know, if your parents were not nice to you, they were, you know, they were abusing you, whatever. Once you look after them, wallahi, the reward will be doubled. Because now you are doing it for the sake of Allah Jalla A'la. And not only that, Allah Jalla A'la will give you the best in your children. So you are the first one to benefit. You are the first one to benefit. However, if you don't look after them, you are the first loser in this life and in the hereafter. Recently, I came across a book in Arabic. I hate my father. And in that book, it says that, see, you hate him or you don't hate him. And he went through some issues, maybe the child, as you said, his father never told him, I love you, etc. But he said, one of the key strong points at the end of the day, you need to look after your father for your own success. And when children, they say, I am not moving on in my life, check, you will find that they have very bad relationship with their parents. And see, I would like to say, let me be honest, because I mix with young people, speak to them a lot. Let me be honest. Many young people, they use excuses for their own failure. They put it on their parents. And I don't know whether I have mentioned this or not. One time I was approached by a young person and he told me, Sheikh, I want to, have a private chat with me or with you. Okay. He said, Sheikh, I am a failing person. Okay, Habibi, why are you failing? He said, because I remember once that my father was telling my mother that this child is failing. I said, and then you became, failing person because of this? He said, I said, Habibi, you are fooling yourself. You are failing because you want to fail, not because of your father. Forget about your father. I am sure he wanted the best for you. You might say there are exceptions. Of course, only children, they say that there are exceptions. But I am sure he wants the best for you. But imagine that he was not like this. What you need to move on. You need to move on. You cannot get stuck. If you get stuck, you will harm yourself. And by the way, maybe one time we need to speak about this issue of one of the main reasons for mental illnesses, which is what? Living in the past.
Can you repeat that? So one of the main causes, this is a profound statement you just made. So one of the key reasons for mental illness could be
living in the past.
Living in the past.
If not the key reason for many mental illness. If not the key, is what? Living in the past. What does living in the past? You know, that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, be careful of what had I done. لا تقل إذا had I done this, had I done this, had I done this, فَإِنَّ لَوْ تَفْتَحْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Had I done this, it will open what? The doors for the shaytan. And most of the people who are going through mental illnesses that I have seen, and by the way, I speak to number of psychologists and psychiatrists frequently because my work as a sheikh, as a mufti, as whatever, counselor, imam, etc., I give a lot of counseling. So I take help from them. Now I am dealing with one of, you can say relatives, and he is going through very bad depression. And the key reason for him to go through this is what? Living in the past. Regretting for something that has what? That has been done.
Yeah. Tell me, Sheikh, so now we have, I got a bunch of questions here. So we have so many ayahs, for example, in the Quran. Let's talk about, so we talked about family, and then now you have siblings, you know, and this can be something, you know, for my children, for, you know, others' children's. You leave behind something good that they can come back to and hopefully, you know, reflect over, because you have a lot of the breakdown of the family because of the sibling rivalry and the boycotting of, when I say brothers, I'll say also this is including sister and sister, brother and brother. But then some of these ayahs, and you can tell us, what do we take from it? One, the believers are nothing else but brothers in the deen, so make reconciliation between your brothers. And then another ayah, and fear God, Allah, through whom you demand your mutual rights, and do not cut off the ties of kinship. Again, another ayah, fear Allah and reconcile the bonds that have been broken between you. So they go on and on from the Quran. And then you have this hadith mentioned. There's two versions of it, Shaykh. Can you tell us the other one? One is in Bukhari, where it says, do not desert one another. Do not nurse hatred towards one another. Do not be jealous of one another and become fellow brothers and slaves of Allah. It is not lawful for a Muslim to stop talking to his brother for more than 3 days. This is a Muslim, but is this one authentic also? It's in Abu Dawood. We don't hear this one. It says it's not lawful for a Muslim to forsake his brother for more than 3 days, and whoever does so for more than 3 days and then dies on it will certainly enter the hellfire. So what's your comment when you...
Yeah, see, and actually I wanted to quote this hadith. Brothers, whether this, the last part of the hadith of Abi Dawood is authentic or it is weak, but yani, we cannot confirm, but the general meaning is there. See, if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is talking about this, talking about those who are what? Just not blood brothers. Yeah? La yahillu. It is not allowed, yeah, for a Muslim to boycott his brother in Islam for what? More than 3 days. What about your own blood brother? Yeah, that's why this is a major sin. And that's why maybe this narration that if the person dies like this, he deserves the fire of hell, because he is dying on a major sin.
But someone will say, Sheikh, but someone will say, hold on, he needs time, you know, or she needs time. And they'll say, okay, he's needs to get himself together. So 6 months will pass, 7 months will pass, and then they just leave the person alone. How do you respond? I mean, what's the right approach then?
Yeah, these are just excuses. And now so many people, whenever you tell them something, yeah, they always use this excuse. Brother, why don't you pray? I need time. Babe, okay, I'm sure 10 years ago, someone told you, why don't you pray? And you said you need time. Yes or no?
Subhanallah.
Yeah? Yeah. It is. They are what? Using an excuse. This is number one. Number two, what about you? What about if you die before the time comes? Are you sure? Give me any confirmation that you are going to live, and then I will give you what? I will give you time. Yeah? This is number two. Number three, the shaitan more likely will make more hatred. Yeah? The hatred will increase. So you need to cut the way, yeah, of the shaitan and then go directly. That's why Allah Jalla wa Ala, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in one of the narrations, he said, فَيَلْتَقِيَانَ فَيُعْرِضُ هَذَا وَيُعْرِضُ هَذَا. They meet, and this one turns away and the other one turns away. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? The best of them is the one who what? يَبْدَعُ بِالسَّلَامِ. The first one to start the salam. One of the companions went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, I have some relatives and I maintain the ties of kinship, but they cut it. I maintain they cut. Yeah? So, Ya Rasulullah, what shall I do? He said, no, you need to continue to do that. The meaning of what the Prophet ﷺ said, because you are actually feeding them with what? With that, with the coal. Yeah? تُسِفُّهُمُ الْمَلْ. Yeah? So, and brothers and sisters, wallahi, when the person is on deathbed, yeah? He will regret so many things. And he will say, oh, please, call my brother. call my sister, let them forgive me. I want to do this and that. Okay? Another important point, which is your children, yeah, brothers, sisters, wake up, please. Your children will copy the way you were what? Treating your own brothers and sisters. So don't say that, oh, my children now, they are very nice with each other, etc. Yeah? No. Once you die, they will remember how you used to treat your brothers and sisters, whether you were tolerant, whether you were maintaining the ties of kinship, visiting them, loving them, showing respect, tolerating, forgiving them, etc. They will do the same. If you were, and see, we have examples of parents telling their children, oh, look, your uncle is this and that and evil. Your auntie is this and that. صح? Many people are doing this. Your children will do the same thing to each other once you pass away. This is life. Yeah.
Sheikh, so what should a person do, the one who is trying to, on the other receiving end, the person doesn't want to fall into this major sin, this haram, so the person is trying to reconcile with their brother or sister. They're trying their best, but every time now they're getting resistance. Family members are also saying, just leave it alone. What should that person do? Are they absolved? What do they do?
No, they should continue. Full stop. Simple.
But how? How should they continue? Like what do they?
Try different ways. Sometimes by sending gifts. Sometimes by sending salam. Sometimes by calling. Sometimes by visiting. Sometimes send your children. Yeah? Because if I have something with my brother, I should not let my children boycott him. He should not let his children boycott me. I should send my children. I should teach them, no, respect your uncle. Respect your cousin. Make sure that you communicate with them. Yeah? This is the way. And see, let us not think that people are evil. When I keep trying, and the other side, their hearts will be softened. One time, their hearts will be softened.
Now, is there in a situation where some people will say, okay, now they'll start to use the psychiatry of this time, psychology. So is there things that we'll take from it, but then when it conflicts, like a person will justify, okay, person has boundaries, respect their boundaries. So they'll quote psychiatrists and psychologists and whatnot in this matter. So then what do you do? Like you have Dean here and then you have over here, you know.
Yeah, exactly. That's why, you know, we sometimes there are major conflicts. And, you know, although I am a person who likes psychology a lot and I read in it, but we need Islamic psychology. Because sometimes, you know, the non-Islamic psychology can be harmful. I'll give you an example. Okay? Now, psychiatrists, they like labeling people. Yeah? You go to and they say, oh, you have very bad depression. And once the person hears this, what will happen? He will internalize this. Yeah? And once the person internalizes this, he will use this as an excuse, or he will use this as excuses for so many things. And we have seen that. Okay, why don't you do this? I have depression. The other day, about fasting. Yeah, well, she has anxiety. And if she fasts, yani, then, yeah, but is it really linked? Okay, well, yeah, she has anxiety. Other OCD, yeah? Other problems. By what? Those problems will be, the person will internalize them, will be embedding them once the person is labeled like this. That's why, from an Islamic perspective, it doesn't focus on labels. It focuses on what? Actions. Yeah? because, yeah, this action is wrong. I can get rid of it. But if I am classified as a depressed person, even if I can do things correctly, no, I am depressed. Yeah? So I will act accordingly.
That makes a lot of sense. Tell us, Sheikh, another hadith where the Prophet ﷺ is talking about that the deeds of Allah, this is in Muslim, are presented to Allah on Mondays and Thursdays, and then every slave of Allah is granted forgiveness if he does not associate anything, partners with Allah in worship, but except the person who's... Now, can you go ahead and finish this and tell us what this hadith is talking about?
Jazakallah khair. Actually, yani, I don't know why I did not mention it when I was... The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the deeds will be raised to Allah jalla ala on Mondays and Thursdays. And as we know that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was fasting Mondays a lot, he was asked and he said, this is a day the deeds go are raised to Allah jalla ala, and I like my deeds to be raised to Allah jalla ala when I am fasting. In this narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah jalla ala will forgive those who did not commit any kind of shirk. But those who have what? Boycott each other. And these are not the brothers, the blood brothers. No, these are not the relatives. No, they are who? Yeah? The normal people. Allah Jalla wa Ala will say, no. Don't forgive them until what? They reconcile.
Subhanallah. So your deeds, are you technically your prayer, your fasting right in Ramadan? Is it technically almost sabotaging your deeds because you're boycotting your brother or your sister?
Exactly. That's why we are, yani, that's why I am, yani, a bit emotional about this thing. I want brothers and sisters to wake up. It's not an easy issue. These are, again, not your blood brothers, but they are just Muslims. Yeah?
But what if it's now, so you're saying it's even more severe if these are blood brothers, sisters?
Of course, if they are relatives. What about your parents? And that's why...
What about Shay? What about, but now the excuses come in. Now the sister, the brother says he wronged me via B and, when I was young, he hit me or he, did this, did that. And the list of excuses start to come up. What about that? Is there justification there?
All of these are excuses. That maintaining the ties of kinship with him is something, see, from an Islam is a very really, realistic way. I'd say that, this is something and this is something else. This person committed this mistake. It doesn't mean that we shun him off completely and we forget about all of his rights. No, he deserves to be punished for that, whether in this life or in the hereafter. But from the other side, he has certain rights. This does not justify this. We say in English, two errors will not make,
Two wrongs don't make a right.
Two
wrongs don't make a right.
Two wrongs will not make one right. Okay? So he responded to you. He treated you badly. It doesn't mean that you do the same thing, because that is wrong. That is wrong. It doesn't make it right. Yeah? And that's why Allah Jalla wa Ala says, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ ادْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍّ عَظِيمٍ. Hasana, good, is not like the bad. If a person, you have something with him, deter the evil with what? With doing good. So as a result, if there is a person you have hatred against him, he is your enemy, but because you responded to his evil in a very nice way, we are not talking about the enemy of Islam and Muslims. No. We are not talking about that. We are talking about a normal person, a Muslim, a believer, who is, generally speaking, not evil. Yeah? But you think that he wronged you. Then what will happen once you respond in the best way, then you will be as close friends. And let me just say one important point about this. Many brothers and sisters, they enjoy looking at themselves as victims. Yeah? They like, oh, look, everyone is against me. Yeah, when I was young, yeah, my parents were against me. My parents used to favor the other child. My other siblings, my elder brothers, they used to beat me up. They used to take my things. I used to get all the clothes. I used to get the secondhand clothes after they wear it. They like to victimize themselves. They enjoy it because what? Because this victimizations lead to many justifications of many of their mistakes. Brothers and sisters, a successful person will not victimize himself. Yeah, the successful person will move, will keep moving, will keep moving. That's why to keep moving, go and fix your relationship with your siblings and with your relatives in general.
Just a couple more that we want to share with you, Sheikh. Can this next hadith that's narrated in Abu Dawood, can you tell us, can this be now encouraging people to get involved, where you hear the Prophet asking a question, do you know what is better, far better than charity, prayer, fasting? They said, what could be better? He said, bringing those ties of kinship together. Shall I inform you of something more excellent degree than fasting, prayer, and sadaqah? Then the people replied, yes, O Messenger of Allah. He said, it is putting things right between people, spoiling them of the shaver. How do we understand this hadith, Shaykh?
Yeah. See, Islam wants us to remain as a solid society. Yeah. Once this society is disunited, yeah, the whole ummah will be disunited, and then it will be fragmented and it will be weakened. Yes. That's why we say unity starts at home. That's why Allah Jalla A'ala warned us against disunity. وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ. Don't be disunited, otherwise what? You will lose courage and your strength will what? Will depart. That's why, you know, those who maintain the relationship between people, reconcile between people, they are doing one of the best deeds, if not the best deed. Yeah? And this is what the Prophet ﷺ says. Shall I tell you about that which is better than? Look, salah, sadaqah, and siyam. In the Quran, Allah Jalla wa Ala says, "La khayra fi kathirin min najwahum illa man amara bi sadaqatin aw ma'rufin aw islahin bayna an-nas." Yeah. So Allah Jalla wa Ala making, building the bridges and fixing the relationship between people. See, we are allowed to lie. صح? We are allowed to lie in order to what? To fix the relationship between people. See how much weight and exceptions Allah Jalla wa Ala gave for this process, which is what? Reconciling between people.
So this falls into, so nobody gets the wrong impression. This falls under those categories specifically. If, let's say, your wife makes you some food, too much salt in it or whatnot, like, hey, you know, how is it? Yeah, it's great, honey. Or this to bring unity together. This is an exception for that. But in generally, lying is detested. It's something that's totally, you know, you're not supposed to lie. But in this case,
yeah, of course, this is well known, and we don't need to, yeah, okay, to clarify that. But for example, A and B, and you go to A, yeah, A and B, they have problems, and these are not blood brothers, by the way. And then you go to A, and you say, you know what? The other day I was with B, and he told me that, you know, wallahi, I love A, and you know, طبعاً lying for that, for the reconciliation, not lying about anything else, yeah? And you go to A and you tell him that, listen, you know, B told me that I want to reconcile with A, but I feel that if I may reconcile, he might misunderstand me, or he might, you know, put me off or so. Then A will say, really? Yeah, really. And then you go to B and you tell him the same thing in order to what? To fix the relationship. This is what? This is allowed. And this is, the scholars mentioned this, some of the scholars mentioned this, as a comment on this ayah, لا خير في كثير من وجاههم إلا من صدق من أمر بصدقة أو معروف أو إصلاح بين الناس. Yeah, and they said this kind of secret, yeah, hidden discussion, hidden discussion in an isolated way, it is not allowed in general. Yeah, except if you are من أمر بصدقة أو معروف أو إصلاح بين الناس. Except if you are doing these good things, including what? Including fixing the relationship between people.
Okay, Sheikh, just one more hadith and a story. And we know that we strive, I mean, to be upon pure monotheism, to worship the Creator, not the creation, the one and only Creator of the heaven and the earth, the same God of Moses, Jesus, Abraham, the last and final messenger, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him all. They glad to get glad tidings of what we're striving for, to avoid the hellfire and to get to Jannah. That's why we're fasting this month of Ramadan, praying, doing all of these good deeds. Now to hear this hadith, this is in Bukhari. You know, it's really scary and should hopefully, you know, rattle some of the emotions in someone to go ahead and, you know, make amends with their brother, sister. It says one does not enter paradise who breaks up his family ties. This is
لا يدخل الجنة. Yes, la yadkhulu al-jannata qati'.
So this is in Bukhari, this authentic hadith. I mean,
hadith.
What do you say about that, Sheikh?
So, yani the person who dies while he is still did not fix the relationship with his relatives, yeah, he will be stopped before getting into Jannah until what? If he has rights or they have rights, until that is fixed between what? Between his relatives. Some scholars said that here, لا يدخل الجنة قاطع means that he should be punished before getting to Jannah because he has committed a major sin. Of course, لا يدخل الجنة قاطع here, it doesn't mean permanently, because we, as you know, أهل السنة, we believe that even if the person committed a major sin, yeah, eventually he will be purified from that major sin and will go to Jannah. But this shows the severity of this sin.
This is why it's so important to go to a scholar like yourself, you know, people of knowledge, to go ahead and get clarification, context of such hadith. Now there's a story, Sheikh, that we want to end with. And the story goes like this. I don't know if you probably have heard it. It's attributed to Abu Huraira, one of the companions of the Prophet. It said a young man went to attend the weekly halakha lecture of Abu Huraira, but stopped when he heard him saying, if anyone sitting here has severed ties of kinship, he should leave. So the story continues, said he recalled that he had not been on speaking terms with his aunt living in the same town. The young man quickly left the gathering and went straight to his aunt's house and asked for forgiveness for his past behavior and sought forgiveness. When the aunt inquired about the reason for the change of heart, he narrated the incident. The story continues, she accepted the apology but asked him to inquire from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu the reason for this unusual statement. Why did Abu Huraira leave all the other major sins and focus only on this? What was so special about the ties of kinship? Abu Huraira replied that he had heard the Prophet narrate that our deeds were presented to Allah every Thursday night, and anyone who had severed family ties has his good deeds rejected. He did not want any such person sitting in his gathering, which was held on the same night, for fear that it could deprive the entire gathering of the blessings of Allah. How do we take this story, Sheikh? How do we take this story? Is this authentic? How do we like...
Yeah, okay. This is speaks for itself. This is speaks for itself. That's why we, and I appeal to imams, to shuyukh, to focus on this, yeah, on this issue, maintaining the ties of kinship, and to show, yes, to narrate the verses, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَنْ لَا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Allah combined between what? Commanding to worship alone and what? Not to be rude to your parents and to look after them. Allah Jalla wa Ala says, thank me, أَنِشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ. Be thankful to me and to your parents, yeah, in particular. And see, the one of the, there are so many stories. one of the people came to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu and said to him, you know what, my mother became ill and disabled, and in order for her to relieve herself, she cannot relieve herself except if she sit on my back. So she sits on my back, wanted to relieve herself. I turn away and I don't look at her aura. Yeah, this is the way she can relieve herself. So, oh, Umar, do you think that I have fulfilled her right? And then Umar ibn al-Khattab, he said, no, 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 ever. He said, how come? How come? She, I mean, this is the way she relieves herself. Yeah, defecates or urinate. Yeah, on my back when I'm carrying her. He said, yeah, because she did the same thing when you were young, and she wanted you to continue and to grow and to become, you know, to see you as a man. But now you want to get rid of this. Yeah, look, yeah, Al-Hasan, he was not, Ali ibn al-Husayn, he could not eat with his mother. He said, why? Because I was afraid that I might eat something that she was thinking of eating it. One person asked one of the scholars, can I argue with my father? He said, you cannot stare at him. Just staring at him. You want, see, we can go on and on by talking about those stories. Anyway, just because of time, those stories speak volumes. And wallahi, I feel sorry for our young people in the West, yeah, in non-Muslim countries in general, because these values are not there, are not common. They are not used to these values. And that's why, even from a da'wah perspective, when they talk about American values, British values, I say in those values, the most important value, which is what? Yeah? Silat al-Rahim. Looking after your parents. Yeah? Maintaining the ties of kinship. And the impact of that is on social cohesion, the welfare, the well-being of the society, the security, you name it, and is still none of those countries consider it as what? As a value. In fact, to contrary of that, if your father, yeah, if you the father, you know, I don't know whether I mentioned this or not to you or to, I mentioned it. One of the sisters, one teacher here, he told me that one of the girls, she phoned the police for her parents because they stopped what? The Wi-Fi. Yeah, so this is now the culture, unfortunately, and we need campaigns. Inshallah, we will be doing a campaign like this, which is look after your parents, something like this. Inshallah.
All right, last closing comments and advice. Now the person, we talked about the parent, and now finishing off for the brother or sister who's boycotting each other, they're tuning in, last minute that we have, what advice do you have for them to help maybe soften his, her heart, so they can reconcile on his blessed month of Ramadan?
Wallahi, brothers and sisters, I swear by Allah Jalla Ala, nothing more sweeter in your heart and nothing that will soften your heart and makes you closer to Allah Jalla Ala than suppressing your ego and what? And call your parents, first of all, and then your siblings and the other relatives, and you will see the impact of this on your life, in your contentment, on your happiness, on your children, on your life in general.
Sheikh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Inshallah, this can go down in history and help to go ahead and mend some relationship and bring much good to the homes that have been broken. Jazakallah khair. Thank you, Sheikh.
Barakallah fi. Jazakallah khair. Barakallah.
Ameen. Wa ya.